I'm going to preach this morning on a simple message, from John 3:16. I have in my study, I have stacks of messages that deep, but I've been preaching 14 years, and I've never once preached on John 3:16. And the Lord dealt with me this week, and I'm going to preach on John 3:16, on the love of God, John 3:16. I want you to turn there with me. Everybody knows this verse by heart. The Bible says, if you want to read this with me or just quote it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we're grateful for the day. As we pause a moment and lift our hearts heavenward, we thank you so much for this service, for the sweet spirit that's here, for the love of God that we know already abounds in this church. I thank you for that. I thank you for each one that's come this way, for our visitors. I thank you, Father, for our country and the freedom that we have. And Lord, though we don't agree with many things in America, I still pray you'd bless America. I pray you'd keep us the land of the free and the home of the brave. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one. Bless Brother Gibb as we celebrate his birthday. And Lord, there are many others in this church who have been faithful, who are aged. I pray you'd bless them also. Father, teach us from the Word of God this morning, and we'll love you back and praise you and honor you. Lord, open our hearts to the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose this one verse is the inspiration for the whole gospel text. It's the whole narrative of the Bible is about the love of God. It is probably the greatest verses. John 3:16 and 17 are probably the greatest verses in the Bible about the marvelous love of God. Let me begin by saying this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you've never experienced the love of God in your heart, I want to just challenge you for just a few minutes as we preach this message. You see, your heart, if you're lost, your heart is calloused over. There's sin on the inside. There's a rebellion against God on the inside. And I'm going to ask you this morning for just a few minutes, would you just kind of just open up your heart and open up that calloused place and let the love of God shine through and on the inside, and you'll understand that you need to be forgiven. You'll understand that no love is greater than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the end of the service, when I give the invitation, I want you to move up. I want you to come to the front and be saved and trust Christ as your Savior. If He deals with you and speaks to your heart, open your heart for just a few moments and let the Lord speak to you. I have told the church this before. There was a doctor of theology who traveled the world, and he studied all the different religions and all the different theologies, and he returned to the States, and some of his students asked him and said, since you've studied all the philosophies and theologies of the world, what's the deepest truth that you can find? And he said, the deepest truth that I can find in all the world is this, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm glad to report to you this morning that the love of God goes deeper and farther and goes past man's understanding. Listen, in other religions of the world, the worshiper must come to their God, and they must give themselves for their God. They must die for their God. Some religions, they beat themselves. Some religions, they'll offer their sacrifices of their own children. But I'm going to tell you something. Christianity is different. It's not a religion. It's the true way of God. And God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. God does not ask us to give the fruit of our body for the sin of our soul. He won't accept it. God does not ask us to shed our own blood for our own sin. For our own blood cannot cleanse our sin. It takes the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. If you get saved this morning, it won't be because of your goodness. It won't be because of anything you've done. It won't be because of religious practices. But it'll be because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given on the cross in love. Greater love hath no man than a man would give his life for his friends. Let me start out with an illustration. In World War II, there was a Japanese prison camp. This prison camp was filled with British, American, and Australian soldiers, but there were a few Scots there. And this Scottish prisoner's name was Angus MacGillivray. Angus MacGillivray was a strong, mighty man. He was a great soldier. And they, as they put them all in that prison camp, all the soldiers knew that if one man survived that prison camp, it would be Angus. That prison camp was full of a dog-eat-dog mentality. The prisoners, to keep one another from stealing their rations and stealing their blankets, the prisoners had to sleep on their packs to keep the other fellow prisoners and fellow soldiers from stealing what they had. The law of the jungle prevailed, and Angus was known to be the man who would survive it all. But something happened. Angus died first. And as Angus died, the news spread quickly through the camp because he was the first to die, and it surprised everybody. And upon investigation, the doctor found that Angus had died of starvation complicated by exhaustion. When they began to investigate, Angus had a friend as a fellow prisoner, fellow soldier, and when he got sick, and when his blanket was stolen, Angus gave him his blanket. Angus began to feed his sick buddy his rations. And he would tell him, "Oh, these are extra. I found these. I got these out in the camp." So he would not know that he was eating Angus's meals. And they found that as Angus fed him, as he got better, Angus only got worse. Finally, Angus collapsed from exhaustion, slumped over, and died. Angus had ultimately given his food, his shelter, and ultimately his life for his friend. Let me read you what was written about Angus. As word circulated of the reason for Angus MacGillivray's death, the feel of the whole camp began to change. Suddenly, men began to focus on their mates, their friends, and the humanity of living beyond survival, of one's giving oneself away. They began to pool their talents. One was a violin maker, another an orchestra leader, another a cabinet maker, another a professor. Soon the camp had an orchestra full of homemade instruments and a church called the Church Without Walls. This Church Without Walls was such a powerful, inspiring church that even the Japanese soldiers attended. The men began a university, a hospital, a library system. The place was transformed. The almost smothered love received a revival. All because one man named Angus gave his life for all and all he had for his friend. For many men in that camp, the turnaround of that attitude meant their survival. For there were men there feeble and sick who normally would not have survived. But that got turned around because of him. What happened is an awesome illustration of the potential unleashed when one person actually gives it all away. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. By the way, that prison camp was one that inspired the movie The Bridge Over the River Kwai. If you're as old and bald as I am, you probably remember that movie. And so we find that this man giving his life changed the attitude of the whole camp. You know what I found? That if we as Christians will come to the understanding and the realization that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. One man gave his life, and he's asking us to give our lives for him. He's asking us to give our lives for the life of others. The whole attitude of the church can change. Let me give you 11 things real quickly. Don't think I'm going to make it, but we'll try. What, number one, John 3:16 is the proclamation of God's love. These all begin with P. This is a statement that God loved the world. And it's not just that God loved the world, but God so loved the world. That's unexpected by man, it's unequaled in religion, and it's unexcelled in its effect. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus here. Nicodemus was used to the Old Testament where love was not hardly ever spoken. The Old Testament gave the Israelites a rite and a religion and a rigid set of rules and says, the man that does not live in these will surely die. And along comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to Nicodemus, and he's speaking to him of the love of God. A love so great that Nicodemus has no way to comprehend how great this great love is. The love of God was not stressed by the Old Testament. It was not stressed by the Pharisees. For God to openly proclaim, listen, this is an open proclamation of the love of God. I'm glad to report to you this morning that God does love us. And it's unexpected by man. You see, there's things expected by you. You go to work, they have certain expectations of you. But listen, man cannot place an expectation of God. So it's unexpected. This love of God is unexpected by man. And it's God proclaiming His love for us. It's unequaled in religion. We've already looked at that, how other religions make you have to give yourself for them. If you're an a Muslim and you practice Islam, then you have to be martyred to enjoy heaven. My goodness. Jesus Christ died in our place. Thank God. The Bible says, listen, peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's unexpected by man. It's unequaled in religion. It's unexcelled by its effect. Listen, when we realize what God has done for us, it transforms us. The love of Angus McGillivray transformed not only the man he gave his life for, but transformed the whole camp. And when we understand that this is unexcelled in its effect, we go and we allow the Spirit of God to come in and get past that calloused heart and penetrate our heart. The Spirit of God takes us from bad to good, from wrong to right, from hopeless to hopeful, from a sinner to being sinless in the sight of God. Thank God. Number one is the proclamation of God's love. Number two is the pattern of God's love. The word so means in this manner. For God so loved the world. In this manner, God loved the world. And Jesus goes on to give him an example of how God so loved the world. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. What did he mean by that? Nicodemus was very familiar with the Old Testament story. Listen carefully how people in the Old Testament following Moses, the Bible says they complained in the way. And they grumbled against Moses, and they grumbled against the way that God led them. And the Bible says, listen carefully, the judgment of God came on them, and the Bible says that the Lord allowed fiery serpents to go into that camp and bite His people. You say, well, the Lord, you're preaching on the love of God. Yes, God is love. But the Bible also says our God is a consuming fire. Understand this morning that God is forgiving, but God is a God of judgment. And so these Israelites died when they were bitten. And they went to Moses and they complained and they said, Moses, you've brought us out of Egypt and the Lord has led us through a rough way. And we've complained, we know, but Moses, we got to do something. These fiery serpents are killing our people. And the Lord and Moses, instead of answering them, immediately goes to the Lord. And the Lord says, Moses, I want you to take a brass snake and I want you to put it upon a pole, a fiery serpent. And he that is bitten Let him look to that and live. What a miracle. If you were bitten by a fiery serpent, all you had to do was look up on that pole at the fiery, brazen serpent and live. That was going to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was lifted up on the cross of Calvary, gave his life for you. All you have to do this morning to be saved is look to the Lord Jesus Christ, look to him in faith, ask him for grace, repent of your sins, and receive the miracle of salvation. You see, friend, this morning you've been bitten. You've been bitten by sin. All of us have been bitten by sin. We've all been bitten by Satan. We've all been bitten by our own selfishness. And so we must be healed from the bite of the devil. Hey, friend, if you need to be healed from the bite of the devil, look to the cross of Calvary. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him as he's compared to that fiery serpent that was put on a pole and given for our sin. Thank God that's all it takes. Thank God it's the pattern of God's love. Number three, so we've looked at the proclamation of God's love, the pattern of God's love. Number three is the passion of God's love. The passion of God's love. This had to do with the intensity of his love. Intensity. I know our love for God is extremely inferior to his love for us. I mean, when I think about what the Lord has done for me, what he's done for you, when I think about the goodness and the blessings and the grace that he's given, I know my love is, nobody loves like God. He's so loved. That has to do with his intensity. So there's the proclamation, the pattern of God's love, the passion of God's love, the persistency of God's love. God loved us before we were born, before we ever came to him. There's not a time that he does not love us. The God committed his love, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So before we were born, he loved us. After we're born and during the time we're a sinner, he loved us. When we get saved, he loved us. He loved us, the Bible says, with an everlasting, eternal love. In Jeremiah 31:3, he said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. If you were with us a few weeks ago, you know that we studied the word eternal, and that meant in its length, but everlasting meant in its intensity. And so God does not just love us with an eternal love in its length, but he loves us with an everlasting love, and that is with its intensity. The love of God will never be abated in its intensity. Then there's the perimeter of God's love, number five. He loved the world. There's the perimeter of God's love. He loved the world. You and I think that we love people. Now let me get this across to you. We love our family. We love ourselves. We love our extended family. We love our friends. We love our church members. We love our, hopefully we love our pastor and our church. And we feel like that we've loved. And the perimeter of our love is really just a small circle. And God said, the perimeter of my world, the perimeter of my love is the world. Wow. The black, white, the Asian, the sinner, the people who sin, and we preach so hard against sin, but don't let us forget that God loves the sinner. Paul even said, I was an example. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the example. I went out and persecuted the church. I killed those who were members of the church. I hated the church, and God saved me. Let me be an example. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God loves the terrorist who's plotting to take your life right now. And God will save that man if he'll only turn to him through Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about that. If you say, I can't love those people, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. I have trouble loving them too. I have trouble loving people who desire to only kill and steal, who desire to not be a productive member of society, who desire to just always take, 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 take. I have problems loving those people. I have to pray about that. But God said the perimeter of my love goes everywhere into every corner. That's the perimeter of God's love. Number six is the proof of God's love. God gave His proof. The Bible says in 1 John 3:18, little children, listen carefully. Let us not love in word, and let us not love in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. You see, love, Paul talks about love to the Corinthian church, and the King James Bible interprets that as charity. You know what charity is? Charity is love in shoe leather. Charity puts on its shoes. Love goes out and walks. Love does deeds. Love does good things for those in need. That's what love does. That's the proof of God's love. The proof is in the pudding. Jesus Christ gave His life. The price of God's love. I'm going to hurry here. I'll tell you something, folks, as we close the message. He that loves little gives little. But he that loves much gives much. God help us to put our love into shoe leather. Our love into deeds and not words. Our love into practice for our fellow man, our neighbor, and indeed the world. Number eight is the prudence of God's love. God gave us exactly what we needed when He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you something. In most cases with a parent, or maybe in the case of romantic love, love is sometimes blind, and love is sometimes stupid. But in the case of God, love is intelligent, prudent, and wise. The prudence of God's love. He gave us a Savior and not silver. He gave us an emancipator and not an example. He gave us deliverance and not dollars. The proof of God's love was the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. The prerequisite of God's love is this. Here's where we're going to close the message. You see, God loves everybody. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. It's unexpected. It's unexcelled. It's unequal. But God does love everybody. But this morning, there's a prerequisite. There is something that you have to do to let the love of God in your heart. You have to open your heart. And the Bible says if you'll do that, and you'll call on the Lord Jesus Christ, for he that confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart shall be saved. If you'll call on Him this morning, He'll save you. He'll forgive you, and the love of God can come in to your heart. There's a prerequisite. You say, what am I pre-required to do, Pastor? I'm required to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to the cross of Calvary. That's what I'm required to do. If I fail to do that, if I callous my heart over, as I said at the beginning of the message, the love of God will never save me. The love of God will never come in. The love of God will never forgive me. Oh, He'll still love me, but He won't love me as His child. And one day, if you're not His child, He'll judge you as He judged those His people with fiery serpents.